The Thursday market in Center de Flac is quieter than Sunday, but it's still got a pulse. I walked over just after 8, and the stalls were already out. Piles of bright red tomatoes, sacks of rice, pyramids of mangoes that have no business being this good in August. The air smells of coriander and fried chilies, and the women behind the vegetable stalls call out prices in Bhojpuri-accented French. I bought a small bag of vanilla pods for about 150 rupees, enough for a month of desserts, and a dal puri from a stall near the bus station for 40 rupees. It's the same one I always go to. The lady there knows me now, which is either a good sign or a sign I'm eating too many dal puris. The market is the heart of this town. On Sunday, it's a family stampede. Everyone from the East Coast seems to come in, and the alleys between the stalls are shoulder to shoulder. Wednesday is the other big day, when the fish arrive fresh from the coast and the air gets salty. But Thursday is the local day. The people selling are the same vendors, but the crowd is thinner, more unhurried. I saw a man selling hand-woven baskets from a cart near the entrance, and a woman frying gateau piments over a portable stove, the oil hissing and popping. I stopped for a coffee at Artisan Coffee Super U Flac, about 80 rupees for a flat white, which is reasonable for here, and sat on a plastic stool watching the morning unfold. After the market, I walked back to the flat on Ballet Rouge to drop off the vanilla. The streets are wide here, laid out in a grid that feels more orderly than Magdeburg's tangled lanes. Center de Flac is the commercial hub of the East. Banks, shops, a courthouse, a hospital, all squeezed into a few blocks. It's not pretty in the way the coast is, but it's alive. The bus station is always churning, with buses marked for towns I haven't visited yet. Roches Noir, Poste de Flac, Bel Air. One of these days, I'll just jump on one and see where it ends up. My flat is a one-bedroom on Ballet Rouge, right above a shop that sells mobile phone cases and charging cables. Rent is around 12,000 rupees a month, about $260, which feels fair for the location. The balcony faces the street, and in the evenings, I can hear the distant hum of traffic and the call to prayer from a small mosque a few blocks away. It's not the beach, but it's home for now. I checked my email again before heading out. Still no word from the Economic Development Board about my occupation permit. It's been over a week now, and I'm told these things can take a few weeks, but the waiting is its own kind of exercise in patience. The afternoon was clear and windy, perfect for what I had planned. I caught a bus from the Gare Routière to Belmare, about 15 minutes east. The fare was 25 rupees for a single, though I had to dig through my pockets for change. The bus was an old one, with vinyl seats that stuck to my skin and a driver who seemed to treat every pothole as a personal challenge. We passed through villages I've seen a dozen times now, Cotter Cocos, Palmer, and then the road opened up and there was the lagoon, a sheet of turquoise under a bright sky. Belmare Beach on a windy August afternoon is a different world from the calm morning I'd seen earlier in the week. The southeast trade winds were howling, and the water was speckled with kite surfers, their sails making arcs of color against the blue. I sat on the sand for a while, watching them carve across the waves, the wind snapping the kites like sheets. It looks terrifying, honestly. One guy would catch a gust and lift off the water completely, hanging in the air for a second before crashing back down, spray flying. There's a group of regulars here, mostly locals, who come every afternoon when the wind is up. I've been told there are lessons available if you want to try it, but I'm happy to watch for now. I walked along the shore for about an hour, past the line of casuarina trees that grow right up to the sand. The beach is backed by a few small hotels and goose houses. I passed Solana Beach Mauritius and a couple of others I didn't catch the names of. Midweek, in winter, the beach is quiet. A few families were splashing in the shallows, and an old man was fishing with a hand line off the rocks at the far end. I collected a few shells, the kind with spiral edges that look like they're from a children's book. The wind was strong enough that I had to lean into it to walk forward, and the salt crusted on my lips. By 4 o'clock, the wind had started to die down, and I headed back towards the bus stop. On the way, I stopped at a roadside stall for a cold Phoenix beer, about 120 rupees, which is steep for here but worth it after a beach walk. The stall was a simple wooden counter under a thatched roof, with a few plastic tables and chairs set up in the shade of a tree. The owner, a quiet man in his 60s, nodded at me as I sat down. The beer was cold and sharp, and I watched a crow hop between the tables looking for crumbs. The bus back to Center de Flac came after 20 minutes or so, and I climbed on with a group of school kids in white uniforms, their backpacks clattering as they found seats. The ride was quicker than the way out, the wind at our back. Back in town, I picked up a few things at the supermarket near the flat, bread, butter, a bag of apples, and cooked dinner in the tiny kitchenette. I had a quiet evening on the balcony, watching the street below empty out as the shops closed. The lights of the market stalls flickered off one by one, and the only sound left was the wind rattling the corrugated awnings. Tomorrow, I think I'll go to Trudeau Douse and see about the boat crossing to Al-Aux Surfs. It's been on my list since I got here, and the weather looks like it'll hold. I'm told the boats leave from the village jetty whenever enough people show up, and the crossing takes about 20 minutes. It's about 500 rupees for the round trip, which doesn't include the beach chairs or the food on the island, but it's a classic. I'll see if I can get a group together or just tag along with some tourists. The wait for the occupation permit is still going on. Every morning I check my phone first thing, and every morning there's nothing. But the days here have a rhythm that makes the waiting easier. The market, the beach, the wind, the evening quiet. I'm learning what it means to live somewhere rather than just pass through. It's not all sunset photos and looking for the next Dalbot. It's knowing which bus to take and how much a Dalpuri costs and where to find a quiet spot to watch the sea. That's the work of it, and it's good work. One thing I've started doing regularly is booking my bus transfer ahead when I need to get somewhere early. For just a few hundred rupees, you can arrange a car to pick you up from your door. So much easier than haggling with a taxi driver at 6 in the morning. I've done it twice now, and it's been worth every rupee. And I always keep a data eSIM on my phone, so I don't have to worry about finding Wi-Fi when I'm out. It's a small thing, but it makes the whole place feel a lot friendlier. The eclipse thing is still in the back of my mind. The news said there's a penumbral lunar eclipse visible from here on the 28th of August, early in the morning, around 6 or 7. I'm not sure if we'll see it, but I've got my alarm set anyway. It's been a while since I saw a proper sky event. I think what I'm learning this week is that the East Coast is a place that rewards patience. The wind blows, the market runs, the buses come and go, and if you sit still long enough, you start to feel part of it. Tonight, I've got the balcony, a cold drink, and the sound of the wind. It's enough. Everything I've mentioned, the market, the beach, the bus, the eSIM, the boat to Al-Aux Surfs, is in the episode notes if you want the details. Bonzer, and I'll catch you on the next one. Bonzer from Center de Flac. The wind is still up, and I'm off to see what tomorrow brings.